con el under $3 menu de McDonald's, un McChicken es solo $1.50. Resulta que ser el héroe de tu primita solo te cuesta $1.50. Por un McChicken, good deal. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to the Early Line on Sports Grid on Sirius XM channel 204. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Erin Dolan. Happy Thursday, everybody. We're inching closer to the weekend. Kev, happy Thursday to you. Hope you're having a good morning. Lots of great things to get to today.
Absolutely. Happy Thursday to you. Happy Thursday to everybody watching, listening. We had a little guest hanging out with us pre-show. Has me excited to rock, ready to roll here on a Thursday.
Yeah, of course. And it kind of looks like Kevin and I, if you're viewing us right now, are matching this morning. Every morning that we come on, I feel like, Kev, this week we've been in accordance to each other. That was not planned. But let's start off with our headlines. In the NBA, Embiid's 38-point performance was not enough for the Sixers to get a home win against the Suns. Sixers were without Ben Simmons and Tobias Harris. Phoenix wins 116-113 with Chris Paul having another massive night.
Yeah, look, frustrating for Philly to drop two in a row at home, but it's easy to figure out. No Ben Simmons, no Tobias Harris. Embiid almost hit one of the all-time great buzzer beaters, if we're quite honest, with that full-court heave. But give Phoenix credit. I mean, goodness, is this team just so difficult to get out on a nightly basis? A win in Milwaukee, a win in Philadelphia. This is a road trip that was supposed to see them give ground up to those that were behind them. Instead, they're gaining, and they're going to continue to apply pressure on Utah for that one spot.
Yeah, and despite that loss last night, I'm excited to break down that game and also their game against the Bucks tonight for the 76ers. Also in the NBA last night, Hawks' Trae Young suffered an ankle sprain in the Hawks' 137-127 overtime loss to the Knicks. He left the game in that third quarter. Knicks keep rolling, though. 8 straight wins, 11 straight covers. I have to apologize to New York Knicks fans because in my hurry-up yesterday, I had the Hawks winning this game.
I don't think you need to apologize. Look, give him credit. Give him credit. 8 in a row. They were losing that game if Trae Young stayed healthy. Trae Young was a plus 13. They were up by almost double digits when Trae Young went down. I don't think this was this hard to figure out. Again, you give the Knicks credit. But my bigger takeaway is what is potentially a 4-5 opening round matchup, Hawks-Knicks. I still feel good about Atlanta as long as Trae Young is healthy. But, of course, give the Knicks credit. 8 in a row is 8 in a row. They were not winning that game if Trae Young stayed healthy.
I agree with you there. All right. Also, Wizards are starting to figure it out with their 6th straight win, beating Steph Curry and the Warriors. 118-114, Steph cooling off in that game, 18 points. Wizards sitting in that 10th spot in the Eastern Conference, standing for the play-in.
I mean, this is amazing. Look at them go. They're doing it. It's happening.
Rolling.
We're going to get Beal and Westbrook in the play-in. I'm not sure if we are, but we're getting close. I'm getting excited about it. And, you know, I mean, Russell Westbrook had 20 rebounds. Like, he's going to average a triple-double again. Nobody cares. Also, the Curry streak in awful fashion blown up. I don't even know if he scored 15 points. I mean, it was a low-scoring night. Going up against Beal, who he's challenging for that scoring title. Really, really fun basketball game, all in all. But the Wizards, they're hot. 6 straight.
Yes, they are. And one headline that I'm super excited about, Anthony Davis is set to return. He is confident with the 14 regular season games left in the Lakers' push to defend their NBA title. Davis has been sidelined since February 14th, Valentine's Day, and is expected to be in the lineup against the Mavs.
I mean, how exciting is this? Come on. How
I can't wait
exciting
to talk about
is this?
AD, see how he looks.
AD back. This is amazing. This is as exciting of a regular season game now. It feels like that we've gotten some time, Erin. It is massive to see how he looks and what he brings to this Lakers squad here. Anthony Davis's return is very, very exciting.
Yep, and quickly want to welcome in our radio audience. You're listening to The Early Line on SportsGrid on SiriusXM, Channel 204, for Kevin Walsh from Aaron Dolan, doing our 7-7 top headlines. Let's get to another one. In Major League Baseball, A's win their 11th straight game on bases loaded and an extra innings error. Kev, what transpired in that final play?
No hits. This was bizarre. I mean, they're just errors all over the place, but I got to give the A's credit. 11 in a row. I mean, I thought this team was totally toast because they lost a couple of opening series. Yes, all right. I overreacted to 162-game season on an 8-game sample size. That's my bad. 11 straight for Oakland. Tons of credit their way.
Yeah, and if you think the QB controversy was over in Philadelphia, you might as well think again. Eagles Nick Sirianni said yesterday in a press conference that he is not ready to name Jalen Hurts the starter just yet. He also had some unique scouting tactics for draft prospects. He told the media that he decided to play rock, paper, scissors with prospects to see their competitiveness. I don't really understand that. He added he also trash-talked them as well. Great look for a coach. So I cannot wait to talk about this. I'm already heated about this. What did you think of this press conference?
Look, Nick Sirianni, an absolute wild card. I mean, you just never know what this guy is going to bring to the table.
It's a gamble.
I can tell you that you're fired up about it. I'll tell you this, though. It looks like some of the reporting on this QB competition
was a little
sensationalized, maybe, for clicks. Let's call it what it is. Jalen Hurts, my quarterback, your quarterback, our quarterback, the world's quarterback, an absolute superstar in the making. I cannot wait. Jalen Hurts, baby!
All right, our last headline before we break that down later in the show. NFL schedule was released May 12th, shortly after. We will get the season win totals, I'm sure, for some of these teams. Remember, 17-game regular season, which is pretty bloody to the eyes. I mean, it's not going to be aesthetically pleasing to see this regular season, but all around, excited to see who the Eagles are going to be playing.
Exactly. Can't wait to see who they play week one. Jalen Hurts is just going to be out there. Read, patience, pocket, touchdown. Let's get it. I love a good NFL schedule release. Clock is ticking.
Yeah, no, I'm super excited to see that as well. I'm fired up too, but Nick Sirianni, come on, man. Like, too much of a gamble. Stay with us here on the early line. We'll be right back after the break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to The Early Line. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Aaron Dolan. Going to talk about some NBA recap. We have a lot of great headlines to get to. The season is coming to a wrap as we're heading into the playoffs. But the first game we want to talk about, which is kind of surprising out of all of them, is the Grizzlies-Clippers. So yesterday here on The Early Line, I said I love the Grizzlies +5 as my dog of the day against the Clippers. Right after the show, the line kept moving and moving, eventually closing at Grizzlies -3. Now the Clippers won this game 117-105. So Kevin and I need to talk about, one, how this line flipped that way. Everything that we said was going to happen seemingly was going the right way for us, but then the result completely went sideways.
It did. So, and this is the difficult thing at times about betting, because you can do all of the right things, but you're, I mean, we're not playing the game. I don't have a Memphis jersey. Aaron doesn't have a Memphis jersey, right? Like, they still have to go out there and get the job done. And by the way, up by 15 points at the end of the first quarter, you would have thought the job was going to get done.
Yeah, you'd think that.
This is, you would think. But I guess that's the danger of betting dogs. I don't know. But here's the thing. They weren't dogs by the time this line closed. And that's why I wanted to start with this game, because we talk about the early line special somewhat jokingly, but not really, to be honest. Aaron and I do this every morning, Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Eastern. And what has become the most important thing for us is to get a sense of what the line is telling us, and is it factoring in this person being out, this person being back, this person being out. And yesterday, we saw that the Clippers were laying 5. And we started the thing about the fact that they were on a back-to-back, how difficult that game against Portland was. And the reality is, right, of course, Kawhi's not playing. That line was probably going to start to go the other way. I mean, look, by the time the segment was done, it was down to 3.5. By the time I had finished my cereal, it was to 1.5. I mean, the Grizzlies were favorites before the Clippers even said, hey, we don't have Paul George and Rajon Rondo and Reggie Jackson, of course, Kawhi Leonard. So it's an odd thing because +5 to -3, all in the end of it, irrelevant. They lose by 12, but we did what we were supposed to, what we were trying to accomplish, we did. So that's what makes this so difficult at times, but I'm still happy with kind of the results pregame. In-game, please get the job done. Handle your business, +5, +172 money line. But you can't ask for more than that, beating the number by 8 full points.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think this is just a great example of sports betting as a whole. You can do any amount of research. You can predict these lines. This changed 8 points. This is probably one of the biggest swings that I've seen in a while. So obviously, Kevin and I, doing our research as we do every morning for the show, we are giving you the best information that we possibly can give you. And sometimes things just go sideways, which is always one of the funniest things to me when I'm even out with friends or people tweet this at me all the time. Like, give me that inside information that you have. All the information that I have is information that is online. There is no rhyme or reason to certain things that go wrong in games. Obviously, you mentioned the Grizzlies were up at one point by 15. They lose this game to the shorthanded Clippers. I mean, it's just one of those games. Like, what am I going to do? I mean, I'm just going to have to cross Memphis off my list. It's just there's a red line going through it. Yeah. I'm mad at them. And we move on. You go bet the rest of the slates, and you just start narrowing those teams down.
Yeah, no, I think fair enough. I mean, Memphis very quickly makes the EKD list with a performance like
and
this.
I loved them. And they're one of my favorite teams to bet on. But we have to cross them off.
15. They were 15 at the end of the first quarter.
I know.
Well, where did it go wrong? Part of the reason why I like the Clippers at +700 was in the title. They are, I mean, they but just bombs away from beyond the arc with unbelievable efficiency. As a team, better than 50% from beyond the arc. And, like, you can't really be like, oh, that's so unsustainable. It's what they do. I mean, not 52%, but they shoot it better than 40% in almost every game they play. Luke Kennard steps up. Mook Morris has been awesome for them for the most part of this season. He had some postseason struggles that felt like that were swept under the rug. But all in all, he's been good during this regular season stretch. To me, the biggest thing of the game, outside, of course, the betting aspect, was the return of Jaren Jackson Jr. for Memphis, Aaron. Like, he's their second best player. He had 15 points in 18 minutes with 8 rebounds and 4 blocks. He is a legitimate star player. There's a reality in which he is better than Ja Morant, and we all know how good Ja Morant is. I am so excited to see Triple J back, and Memphis is a team that I am very, very excited to watch and maybe bet on. Maybe bet on. I mean, I know they're kind of on the list. We'll figure out if there's another time to do that. But Jaren Jackson Jr.'s return is some exciting stuff and important to follow on a game-to-game basis if you're backing Memphis on spreads, totals, or, of course, player props.
Yes, of course. So let's get into some other NBA games that we really wanted to hit on. First one starting off with the Suns 76ers. Of course, Phoenix winning this game 116-113. Embiid 38 points, 17 boards, shooting 14 of 23. Danny Green also really stepped up with 18 points there. Of course, Tobias Harris and Ben Simmons were not in this game. Chris Paul, though, we mentioned at the beginning of the show, looking like an MVP, 18 points, 8 assists, leading the team. But the Suns only shot 36% from beyond the three-point line. Then you have the 76ers, 18 of 26 from the free throw line. So had they just made more free throws in this game, they would have been able to keep this a little bit closer.
Yeah, and compare that to Phoenix. Left almost, you know, nothing out there in that regard. 19 of 21. Funny enough, only their second miss was that one by Chris Paul, which actually secured the cover for Philly backers at 3.5, but also left the door open then for the Embiid heave. You got to be better, though, from the line. Absolutely have to be better. The difficulty of it all is a lot of it had to do with Dwight Howard going 1 for 5. That's Dwight Howard, though. That's the Dwight Howard that we've come to know. I tell you, though, like, Aaron, and I'll turn it back to you. How mad or frustrated are you with the Sixers? I don't think you can be that mad or frustrated because we know what it is. No Ben Simmons, no Tobias Harris. This isn't difficult to figure out in my eyes.
Yeah, look, I have the Flyers to be mad at. I have Nick Sirianni to be mad at. I cannot be mad at the Philadelphia 76ers when Ben Simmons is not on the floor, Tobias Harris is not on the floor. They obviously just dropped that game to the Warriors as well, but those two were not in the game. So should they be healthy, given that the Suns only won by 3 points, I think that's actually a great result for this team. I mean, the Suns had everybody out there. Devin Booker was pretty quiet last night.
Absolutely.
But just in general, I think this was actually a positive thing. Yes, they lost obviously this game, but the Nets also lost a game last night, which makes you feel a little bit better, especially in terms of those Eastern Conference standings. So I think they know that these two games against the Bucks on the road are so important that they need to have Ben Simmons and Tobias Harris fully healthy for that. And maybe they figured losing one more at home. I mean, they weren't trying to lose this game by any means. That's not what I'm saying. And maybe those players still did need extra time, but I'm not frustrated with them just given that Embiid still had such a big night. And he almost had that three-pointer at the end, which would have changed everything to force it into overtime.
Yeah, that would have been incredible. My only frustration is, as somebody that is back in Philly in the futures market for the Eastern Conference, I've said this before, and it so much of it has to do with the Sixers being the one seed. And they really could have created some separation with even just one of these two games, Golden State or Phoenix. Mm-hmm. And I so strongly believe that they win one, if not both, if Ben and Toby were still available for them. Ultimately, they still hold a half-game lead over the Sixers, but also they're now going into Milwaukee for a double-up. That's not easy. Mm-hmm. You know, and one of them being on the second leg of a back-to-back, it's not the most ideal situation there. And I'm hoping that they can still kind of hold things down. Mm-hmm. Look, they're still to minus 340 to have a better record than the Brooklyn Nets. And I think a lot of that comes with the fact that Brooklyn, no Harden, no Durant. And, I mean, give Kyrie some credit. We'll talk about that game. But Brooklyn, of course, now playing down two of their most important players.
Yeah, and of course, after playing the Suns, being on a back-to-back against the Bucks, that's going to be a very, very tough matchup. You don't want to see them lose three straight, but something that could potentially happen. Stay with us here on the Early Line. We're going to continue breaking down all the NBA games that happened last night and preview some of them on the board today. Stay with us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Happy Thursday to all our viewers and listeners. Aaron Dolan here with Kevin Walsh. We want to continue our NBA recap last night. Hawks and Knicks. So the over 219 cashes in this one with the Knicks winning in overtime. We have to talk about it. Trae Young went down in this game. That wasn't the third quarter. And Kevin and I both agreed that Atlanta would have won this game had he not been injured in it. Now the Knicks have covered in 11 straight games. Kudos to them. They did outscore the Hawks 15-5 in overtime. Not to mention, I mean, the Knicks have covered they're covering and they're winning. I mean, it's just insane. You don't expect this. It's their longest win streak since 2014. But what does this mean more so for Atlanta?
So, and this is the thing. I hope Knicks fans, and although it is what it is, just be happy about your win. But like, oh, come on, we would have still won. No, you listen. Trae Young was a plus 13 in his 30 minutes of work. 20 points, 14 assists, 4 steals. He was getting the job done. And I know Julius Randle, people would argue, but to me, for my money, still the best player on the court is Trae Young. And enough of the players around him were helping out there. Clint Capella, 25 and 22. What a huge night that is for Clint Capella. For the Atlanta Hawks now, Aaron, here comes the question. You know, and this game here matters for the present, for the now. It moves them to the fifth seed. But they could very well find themselves coming down this board. There's only one game separating Atlanta from seven-seeded Miami. The three games that separate Atlanta from Charlotte, considering the results that Charlotte puts forward now and them still being a little banged up, no LaMelo return just yet, I think Atlanta might be good there, but you end up in the play-in. you end up in the play-in and perhaps Trey's not back yet. He tweeted out last night, God had his back and that he's okay. That's a good sign, but we don't have a timeline just yet. I'm anticipating a little bit of time missed here. You end up in the play-in without Trey Young. That's a nightmare. But here's an area, Aaron, where you might be able to take a little bit of an advantage right now with this Trey injury news. And it's a market that we actually talked about on Monday or Tuesday. And at that point, Miami was a plus 175 number to win the Southeast Division. Well, now they're even money. Atlanta's still your favorite, minus 125. I don't think Atlanta could be your favorite anymore. Honestly, I'm not sure Atlanta could still be your favorite even if Trey Young was healthy, because Miami is often power rated higher than them, and I think their schedule may be a little bit easier than Atlanta's. But if they're going to be missing Trey Young, Miami can make that game up, and they can make it up pretty quickly. And then they might be able to create some distance. That even money number on Miami will not be there once we get news on what or how long Trey Young is going to be absent for. I think that's a nice play for the Heat to win the Southeast Division on the heels of this Trey Young news.
Yeah, that's some great advice. Now let's switch it over to the Knicks. Julius Randle, of course, having 40 points, 10 boards, 6 assists. The one thing you mentioned yesterday that did really stand out to me about the Knicks is you don't really worry about them on back-to-back, who's going to be in, who's going to be healthy. They all really seemingly play. Now, for them to make the playoffs, it's not a great market right now. For minus 1,200, and then no, plus 680. So it seems like, obviously, we think they're going to make it. They continue to be healthy. They're winning. They are covering. But it seems like in their division, not great odds for them to win that by any means. But, of course, you have the Philadelphia 76ers, the Nets, and the Celtics in front of them. They're plus 24,000 to win the Atlantic Division. So which way would you want to play the New York Knicks if you wanted to play them in any way? Would you just play them game to game at this point?
I think, of course, game to game, they're going to be a team people look to bet on. 11 consecutive covers now, so I know folks that have been riding with the Knicks are very, very pleased with that. If you were looking to play them in that playoff market, you're quite obviously not laying minus 1,200. Yep. What is the attraction to the plus 680 number? It is entirely they end up in the play-in. If they end up in the play-in, you can do damage with a plus 680 number on them to miss the playoffs. Because you just take the opponent money line there, right? or rather you take the Knicks money line there. They won't be monster favorites, okay? Then no matter what anybody or however excited anybody gets about the Knicks, they're not going to be monster favorites over anybody in that Eastern Conference play-in. It's a matter of whether or not they fall back in it. You look at their schedule, Aaron, and they've got Toronto, Phoenix, and Chicago coming up to close out a homestand. And then they travel west, Memphis, Denver, Phoenix, Clippers, Lakers. Whoa, tough schedule there for the New York Knicks on a little West Coast trip. If they came back to the seventh spot, which again, only a game and a half in front of Miami for the seventh spot, shows how tight that Eastern Conference remains. That would be the way to play the Knicks, is to take that plus 680 number and just look to have a hedge opportunity in the play-in round.
No, that's a great point. Kevin and I are going to break down the Eastern Conference standings and the Western Conference standings and the best ways to bet on those markets a little bit later in the show. But want to continue with our recap. The Nuggets Trailblazers. So the under 229.5 does cash. Damian Lillard was back in this game, but not great. He only had 22 points in 37 minutes of action, opposed to what he usually puts up, I should say. This was a very back and forth game. 26 lead changes, 17 ties. Denver, though, wins it for their fourth game in a row without Jamal Murray, who obviously tore his ACL. So Denver Nuggets still getting those wins, and Jokic just continuing to make his case for MVP.
Yeah. I mean, they haven't lost since
the injury. It's closed out here, but.
Yeah. I mean, it's done. It's done. He's the MVP, right? Yeah. Especially with the Curry miss, bad performance. We'll talk about the game in a minute. The Embiid would have made that shot, he might have been able to come up a little bit more, but. This is Jokic's award. It's been Jokic's award, quite simply. But, you know, man, impressive stuff from Denver. I know they've played games without Jamal Murray before, but what a great job by all parties involved, really stepping up and answering the bell. And Jokic continues to be the driving force behind that. Also, you know, helps to play Portland. Look, what do you want me to say, Aaron?
They have a double line on my list, Portland.
Yeah. Oh, honestly, I'd almost like put them on a positive list, but it's because I know to fade them. Like, that's almost the odd thing. I'll tell you what's so crazy is, though, they've actually covered these two games. They've now lost. They lost back-to-back games by one to the Clippers and the Nuggets, and they had the last shot of the game in both of them. A good look for CJ McCollum against the Clips and an look from Norman Powell against Denver. You'd think regression would get one of those to fall. I know it was Lillard's first game back and a little bit there. Overall, if you're the Portland Trailblazers, though, and this is what I've been trying to say, and I wish we would get odds in the same way that we are talking about, well, what if the Knicks end up in the play-in? What if the Pacers? What if the Hornets? What if the Hawks? Can we please get odds for the Blazers to miss the playoffs? Please? I think they're going to end up in the play-in. And again, I'll just do my damage from there. If the Knicks are plus 700, right, to miss the playoffs, plus 680, Portland is going to be 8-9-1. I'll do damage from there. Let me work. Hang the number. Portland misses the playoffs. I'm begging you.
And as for the Jazz right now on the FanDuel Sportsbook, Western Conference champion plus 300. But then to win it all, they are plus 3,000 right now on the FanDuel Sportsbook. But in terms of the Western Conference champ, they're kind of moving up there. You have the Lakers plus 170, Clippers plus 260, Jazz plus 300. Then you have the Suns behind them plus 950. Do you think this is the market you would potentially play the Denver Nuggets in?
No, I still don't think Denver can go out there and win the West. Even if they're able to get a series, I think ultimately the absence of Murray would catch up to them. So massive credit. And also, and again, we're getting closer and closer to the NBA playoffs. Series betting is very, very fun. Sometimes you can maybe get a game and a half. Maybe could you get two games and a half? Things of that nature, exact series scores. So there's a lot of different ways because Denver, I don't anticipate Denver being a pushover for anybody that they meet. Yep. In the Western Conference playoffs.
All right, let's also talk about the Warriors and the Wizards. So this was the Wizards' sixth consecutive win. They've won 8 of the last 9, 5-1 against the spread in their last 6 games as an underdog. This was an important win for the Wizards. Right now, the FanDuel Sportsbook, for them to make the playoffs, it's plus 270 for yes, minus 355 for no. They're getting hot. They're heating up. Do you have any faith in this Wizards team, maybe even in the play-in round?
Yes. Yes, I do.
In their stride look, there?
A lot of these wins during this win streak are games that they absolutely were supposed to win. But those are the games they kept losing all year long. Now they're not. They're currently the 10th spot. Like, they are currently in. And if I told you that they're playing Indiana, I mean, Indiana has been giving no consistency all season long. And if they then were to play the loser of Miami Charlotte, you're telling me Washington couldn't beat a Charlotte? Come on now. They absolutely could beat a Charlotte. The thing is, that plus 270 number has really dwindled down. I think you perhaps have missed the boat on that number with Washington. But again, for this team, plus 12, Bradley Beal. Plus 10, Russell Westbrook. You only win the game by 4. I'd love to get a little bit more out of some of my bench pieces there, but I'm happy that when my starters are out there, we were the better team. We were putting up the better results. So that's big for Washington. Just quickly before we hit the break, what an awful night for Steph Curry. 2 of 14 from 3, 7 of 25 from beyond the arc. People are going
to
rush back. It was bound to happen, but people are going to rush back to the window to bet him next game. It won't happen twice. It might. It might.
It could.
You're not supposed to go out there and score 38 points, 48 points every night. Be careful just saying, oh, Steph will never have another bad game. He might.
Yeah, but we'll talk about that more after the break. Yeah, it was a tough night. Stay with us on the early line. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Good morning to all our viewers and listeners. You're listening to The Early Line. I'm Erin Dolan, joined by my co-host, Kevin Walsh. Also, want to get into some NBA preview. Two big games on the board, starting off with the Suns versus the Celtics. Suns laying right now 6.5. Now, they're a great team to win and also to cover. They're going to be in a back-to-back after a three-point win over the Philadelphia 76ers last night on the road. The Suns, 10-4 against the spread in their last 14 games playing on 0 days rest. 16-9 against the spread on the road, 4-0 against the spread in their last four meetings in Boston. Now, as for the Celtics, not as great against the spread, 1-3-1 in their last five home games, 4-1-1 against the spread in their last six games overall. Kev, which way would you play this game?
So, Erin, when this number jumps out to you, do you not feel as if there's a lot of important players missing for Boston? Second leg of a back-to-back for Phoenix in Boston, laying 6.5? I mean, that's way too many points if that Celtics team is sending out their regulars. Way too many points for me. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you see it differently there, but I look through this game. You know, Jaylen Brown perhaps questionable, Kemba questionable. Mm-hmm. If the Celtics are fully healthy, I'll take the 6 points at home. I don't care if that team at times can be inconsistent. I don't care if Phoenix goes out there and covers every single game under. I'm not going to use the pun, but if they cover every single game, like it, yeah, you know. I walked right into that.
But yeah, you really
I don't
did.
Care. That is way too many points for Phoenix to be laying, in my opinion, if that's a fully healthy Boston team. So I'm going to want to sit back as per who's in, who's out. But I think Boston getting, again, 6.5 points in their own building is worth the look.
Yeah, I mean, they are, though, 1-3-1 against the spread in their last five home games. I would personally even lay this with the Phoenix Suns just because Devin Booker had such a quiet night yesterday. He might just go off tonight, and maybe Chris Paul would take a step back a little bit. I think some of their players could play better than the way they played against the shorthanded 76ers last night. But obviously, being on the road, that's something you have to take into account. The Celtics being at home, you make a great point. This line obviously jumps out because of the Suns laying 6.5. Who's in, who's out for the Boston Celtics? So maybe we wait a little bit here. Don't give it an early line special. Just kind of see what's going on, see who becomes available throughout the day. But any other things you want to mention in terms of this game, Kev?
Yeah, you know, I just will say, you give Phoenix a lot of credit, though, because notice how we don't talk about, oh, well, Chris Paul, Devin Booker, Ayton, these guys won't play. We're very used to them playing. They play almost seemingly every night for Phoenix. But I do wonder if that is going to stay consistent. We're getting close to the end. They've already played 58 games. There's 14 games left for the Phoenix Suns. Does this team want the number one seed desperately? Are they pleased with staying in that two spot overall? I think that they just like to go out there and compete on a nightly basis. So you'll take that. You're happy about that. No doubt about it. But I wonder if for a team like Phoenix, as we get closer to the end, are they going to consider resting in the way that some of their other counterparts? That's not an early line special. Grab the six. Phoenix is going to rest. I'm just thinking that that's something we're going to want to track, because in a way, Erin, if Phoenix doesn't ever rest, that will make me a little more concerned, actually, when we get to the postseason, as unfortunate as that is.
Yeah, well, maybe that's why they've won and covered so much, just given those back-to-backs. A lot of teams do rest their players, so maybe they picked up some of those wins there. But you make a great point. Are they going to be rested enough come the playoffs? But another game on the board that kind of has a semi-fishy line to me, the Philadelphia 76ers versus the Bucks. Right now, the Bucks are laying 5.5 at home. Now, let's say Tobias Harris and Ben Simmons come back in. Do you see this line shorting at all, Kev?
Yeah, I do. Now, Embiid has already said he plans to play. And that would have been red flag, is that, there's no way Embiid plays the back-to-back. Part of me doesn't really agree with him playing the back-to-back. Why is he playing the back-to-back? If he's playing the back-to-back, then Simmons and Tobias Harris better be out there. And that's how I'm going to look at this game here. If they think Embiid's going to play, then I think the other two are back. And then you're going to want 5.5 points. And it maybe does get a little bit shorter, down to perhaps 4. However, Embiid plans to play, I could easily see him sit in this game. How could you not? Again, it's a back-to-back for Joel Embiid. It makes a lot of sense. So, Aaron, a classic wait-and-see spot for me. This is not a game where I'm looking to grab it early because I don't know. There's too many players up in the air for my liking with this line.
Yeah, and a lot of times here on the early line, Kevin and I have to hypothetically look at these lines and think, okay, what are the odds makers thinking in terms of who's in, who's out, and what's going to develop over the next couple of hours? And just some numbers for you. The 76ers are 3-1-1 against the spread in their last five games and playing on 0 days rest, 4-1 against the spread in their last five road games. Now, you usually hear me say, fade the Bucks. Well, they're 0-6 against the spread in their last six home games, but they are also winning their last five games by an average of 12 points. The Bucks have also won seven of the last 10 meetings against the 76ers. And a terrible stat if you're a 76ers fan, 76ers are 1-5 against the spread in their last six meetings in Milwaukee. So all around, there's really no great advice I can give you in terms of betting on this spread at this moment until, like Kevin and I said, we see who becomes available. But again, this is going to be two games for Philadelphia 76ers on the road against Milwaukee. So, Kev, I think you made a great point that the 76ers should sit Embiid in the spot.
Yeah, because they're going to play Milwaukee again Saturday in Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. That's part of the reason that's part of the reason why I feel that way. The thing about the Bucks is just, man,
Do you think if Embiid doesn't go out, not to cut you off here, if Embiid doesn't go out, they won't send Giannis out as well? Or since they're rested, you think Giannis is just going to go out there and try to do his thing? Because he's been having that lingering issues as well.
This is the kind of game that the Bucks go out there and win by 20. They puff their chest and everyone's like, see? This is why the Bucks are in front of the Sixers in all the futures markets. And I'm not having any of it. I am getting in front of
I'm for sure this, I'm not having any of it.
I know you're not. Like this you know what? The Bucks probably roll the Sixers tonight. They probably do. Whether they're healthy or not. It just feels like one of these. But then again, Milwaukee's not had these games this year. Like that was supposed to happen against Phoenix recently. It was supposed to happen the other day against Memphis, the Clippers. Like they just don't do it anymore. They're not the same
team.
They're
like the Heat. They go on these like win streaks, the lose streaks. You're not sure which type of team you're really going to get at the time. I think that this is so crazy to say, but I'm going to say the Bucks, like that six games that Giannis missed, like just told their PR team, like pretend he's playing and nobody talk about it because that would really went under the radar for a while there.
Yeah.
I just feel like you just don't know what you're going to get with them.
No, there's something else, those Milwaukee Bucks. I feel like
Saturday
Philly
would be more the game you want to bet on because Embiid will be like at least semi-rested, probably going against Giannis full force on a Saturday game as opposed to tonight's game.
But look, if Embiid feels good and Ben Simmons and Tobias Harris are ready to go, then sign me up because this is a game that it could be a 2-3 preview. I really, really hope not. It could be an Eastern Conference Finals preview. I would be into that.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that also if Simmons is available to go, because I know that Doc Rivers has said he thinks he was dealing with a stomach bug, then that'll be good enough, I think, to put him out there with Embiid. Tobias Harris, I think, obviously, you don't want to push him coming back because he has been a great player for us in terms of scoring, especially towards the playoffs. I think that they should just be careful and cautious with him as well. But another game on the board, we have the Lakers and the Mavericks. With the Mavericks laying two at home, we know the Mavericks do not play well at home, unfortunately, for their fan base. But the Lakers are going to have Anthony Davis back. And they're right now the dogs. Well, we're expecting that he's going to be back. Do you think this line reflects that, or are you surprised by this at all?
It 100%, 100% reflects Anthony Davis is coming back. The Lakers against any team with an above 500 record have been getting 5, 6, 7 points in. I mean, so for like the Lakers went to Miami for reference, and we're getting 9.5 points. They hosted the Celtics, the Lakers, and we're getting 7.5 points. Now they go to Dallas, and they're getting 2. This line, 100%, is because of Anthony Davis, which is difficult because is he going to play more than 20 minutes? Not really. So should I really be paying this number then for someone that's going to only be going 20 minutes? Probably not. Here's the reality. How in the world do you back Dallas? 6-14 against the number as a home favorite. Mm-hmm. They are abysmal against the number in this building. And they're on the second leg of a back-to-back. I can't come up with a reason to back Dallas that is pro-Dallas. Mm-hmm. I think if you wanted to go with the Mavericks in this spot, it's just this line maybe should be mm-hmm. 5 because AD's not supposed to play a full wealth of minutes. But, I mean, the Mavericks have been awful in this spot all year long.
Yeah. I mean, Anthony Davis right now, they have it on the FanDuel Sportsbook for him to score the first basket at plus 550. So they already have some markets available. I'm not able to see any player props just yet, but it'll be interesting to see what they do set that at. Obviously, when a player's come back from an injury, he hasn't been in since Valentine's Day, February 14th. So when you do see a player back in terms of betting, is it something to stay away from their player prop to just wait? Because, I mean, Damian Lillard is a perfect example of this. Last night, he was coming back after having some time off, and obviously he only had, I think, 15 points in that game. Would you expect something with an Anthony Davis as well? Obviously, this is totally different in terms of injuries and things of that nature, but just he's going to be on a minutes restriction, so betting his player prop is not going to be the easiest thing.
No, you're absolutely right. The thing is, with his prop, they will adjust it for the minutes restriction. Like, they're not going to hang a 25 and a half on AD. Here's the other interesting thing. This is the first game, a lot of firsts. First game that Anthony Davis will play all season long without LeBron. First game all season long, Anthony Davis will play with Andre Drummond. A lot of differences now for AD. I mean, also, of course, the first game he's played, as you mentioned, since February 14th in the game that he got hurt against the Denver Nuggets in. So, and also, just, we don't remember this probably, but his scoring was down across the board this year, Anthony Davis, from last year. A player whose points prop was routinely 28.5 on most nights was down to 22.5 most nights. 6 points on a player prop is monstrous. So an AD prop tonight could very well be something along the lines of 16.5, 17.5. It wouldn't surprise me. If that's the number that we see, I think he could go out there and ball out, but you're probably better off. You're probably better off just letting the first game go and getting a sense of what this looks like and what's that minutes restriction look like. Mm-hmm. Because I don't know if you really want to be sat there on an under and then the game's close and Frank Vogel's like, let him play 30 minutes. And I don't know if you want to be sat there on an over and the game is close, but the minutes restriction is 15 minutes and you lose and he still scores, 15 points, but they're just not letting him back out there. So I would be very careful with any AD props. But also, Aaron, too quickly, sorry, but any other props, realistically, Montrezl Harrell, Andre Drummond, those guys are also going to be impacted now by Anthony Davis.
Yes, for sure. And there's also 3 other games on the board here. The Pelicans, Magic. You have the Pistons, Spurs, not to mention the Hornets, Bulls. So we will talk about more of those in our upcoming segments. But stay with us here on the Early Line. We have a lot coming up. We have the Hero of the Night next. And then after that, we're going to talk all things MLB and also in the NFL. Stay with us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Early Line on Sports Grid on SiriusXM, Channel 204. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Aaron Dolan. Now, in Major League Baseball last night, underdogs went 8-5 straight up with Rays, Royals closing pick'em. Brewers were the biggest upsets, with others being the Rangers, the Blue Jays, the Diamondbacks, Cubs, Rockies, Pirates, and we will talk more about this in our upcoming segment. Also, over-under split 7-7. But it is now time to get to our Hero of the Night.
It is indeed time for Hero of the Night. We haven't had a good Major League Baseball Hero of the Night in a while, and we have a very, very deserving one. There is something about catchers that you just feel like, man, that's a pro. man, that's a veteran. That's a team leader. That's a fan favorite. That's a guy you respect for years. Yadier Molina. Still, honestly, for most, Yadi. Of course, Buster Posey with the Giants. Yanks fans loved and adored. Jorge Posada, Mike Piazza, a legend as well in New York. Now, am I grouping somebody in with those names that some would say is undeserving? I don't know. I don't really care. I just know I'm a massive fan of our hero of the night, and that's Salvador Perez. Salvi is a very deserving hero of the night. He probably could have won this pretty recently when he had another walk-off, so he's just doubling up walk-offs. He's getting the job done. Big hits. Royals Rays was a tremendous baseball game. Lead was changing hands left and right down the stretch. Runs in the seventh to put the Royals in front. And then in comes the eighth inning. We tie it up with the Rays. Then they take the lead in the ninth. Well, Salvador Perez is not here for your extra innings. He thinks that a runner on second is stupid, and he doesn't want to see it. So he's going to just walk that thing off in the ninth inning. And honestly, that thing was hit good. They should give him a multiple RBIs that would have scored. Salvador Perez, a legend of the game, and a very deserving hero of the night. Congrats, Salvi. Big honor.
Yes, yes, he is. And of course, the Kansas City Royals winning 9-8 over the Rays. And our producer, James, is going to love this segment of Hero of the Night. I'll probably be clipping it off. Stay with us here on the Early Line. We'll be right back after the break.
If the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Your coffee would never get cold. Your flight would always be on time. And your mattress would always respond to you and your unique sleep needs. Sleep Number mattresses are designed to respond to your body and shift with your changing life, helping you fall asleep faster and stay asleep longer. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, to a good life's sleep.